Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here with you. I hope and pray that what you hear is God's Word and His Holy Spirit as He speaks through His Word to us. Our scripture this morning is from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Pray with me if you will, please. Lord God, this is your word, and we seek to know you by it. You show us yourself. You teach us your way. You created us, and you have provided your word so that we can know you and know how to live, how to experience the love, the grace, the daily salvation as you keep your believers in your care. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to your truth. Confirm it to us. Help us to accept it willingly, anxiously, knowing that we need your truth, your guidance, your grace, and your mercy at all times. May we embrace this passage, its truth. Use it to change our being. Illuminate us as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon title today is taken from verse 5. And verse 5 and 6 are a summary of the gospel. Chapter 3 includes our verses and follows with a strong discussion of wisdom and additional specific instruction in wisdom. Solomon is writing to a believer or to a non-believer. We know he's speaking to his son. We're not sure what the state of his son is at this point. But I want to read a brief paragraph from the New International Commentary on this passage to help us frame the scripture. Otherwise, some might think this is a health and wealth gospel, and it is not. So hear this paragraph. Enduring wealth is received through honoring God with one's first fruits, generosity, hard and timely work, contentment, not indulgence, patience, and providing for one's income before building a home. As these means of obtaining wealth show, it is a matter of character, not of method. Proverbs is a how-to-be book, not a how-to book. Solomon is a better theologian than Frank Sinatra. Sinatra sang, "Dooby, dooby, do." Solomon sings, "Be, do. Be, do, be." Another way of saying this is faith comes before works. We do because we are in Christ and He is in us. We do because we love Him. And eternal wealth is far beyond anything we will gather on earth. For all of this will pass away. All of this in creation, all of this earth, and all that we work for will pass away. But eternal life is real and will not pass away. So we'll review this passage, verses 1 through 12, and I'll give just a brief comment on each verse. And then we'll focus on verses 5 and 6. And it's right to understand this passage as wisdom for all of us. I know Solomon is talking to his son, but this is wisdom for all of us, women alike. And wisdom is skill. This is a definition that's important, I think. Wisdom is skill in applying truth and knowledge. And the truth of this passage applies to all. I would say to you, it would be helpful if you follow along in an ESV translation, like your Pew Bible. I will read a phrase at a time and give summary comments, starting with verse 1. But if you like keeping track of where I am for the sake of time and keeping me on track as far as time, you can do that. Verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." He's saying, listen up. Remember this. It is important. Do not forget it. He continues, "But let your heart keep my commandments." And that means to seek to apply this to your life and obedience as being, not just doing. Verse 2 says, "For length of days and years of a life." And Proverbs 3:13-16 attributes length of days to wisdom. These truths, this wisdom, will make your days richer. It will add days to your life, so many that it will accumulate to years that are added to your life. Continuing the verse, it says, "In peace they will add to you." One of the great things is that you will have peace with God and man. Verse 3 says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." Steadfast love in the ESV is translated most commonly as kindness or mercy in other versions, and it means help to the needy. And faithfulness in the ESV is also translated commonly as truth in other versions. So let's read it again. "Let not kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck." That means to keep them close, securely to you, as a symbol of identity that protects you against evil. The verse continues, "Write them on the tablet of your heart." That means to make them a part of your very being, who you are, kind and truthful. Verse 4 says, "So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." It means that you will find favor and reputation, regard, esteem from others in heaven and on earth. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." One of the commentaries, authors, by a man by the name of Waltke, says, "Those who trust God are confident that as they fulfill their obligations, He, being God, God will uphold His obligations in His own time and in His own way, even when the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. That trust must be entire, with all your heart. Since the Lord alone gives wisdom and provides protection, one's security depends on Him." The verse continues, "And do not lean on your own understanding." And the comparison is as a broken crutch. If you're leaning on your own understanding, it's like you're leaning on a broken crutch. One is a fool to rely on his thimble of knowledge before the vast ocean of understanding, which is often governed by irrational urges that he cannot control. So if you're leaning on yourself, it is very easy to be leaning on a very shaky ground, and we're to lean on the Lord instead. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." That means in your thinking, in your speech, in your actions and activities, in your honor, your respect, your obedience, your praise. Recognize and confess him. Accept his authority and his truth. Hear this passage from 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. The verse continues, and he will make straight your paths. The notion is that if you know him personally, if you know God personally, he will make your way right, honest, upright conduct that does not go astray. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Give yourself to humble tasks. Never be wise in your own sight. Verse 7 continues, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Waltke says, the positive command, fear God, and the negative, shun evil, are inseparable and together present the sum of godliness and goodness. Continuing on to talk about the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And there are two forms of fear of the Lord. One is rational fear of the Lord, and it's based on law, statutes, commands, and ordinances. Fear of God refers to a standard of moral conduct known and accepted by men in general and motivates people to right behavior. We get law, statutes, commands, and ordinances from God's Word. The non-rational aspect is an emotional response of fear or love and trust. God's law is in effect no matter how we respond. We will respond with love if we know that he loves us and his law is for our benefit. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Proverbs 14:26-27 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. We will respond with fear if we hate his law. It is a fear of just punishment. So our response to God is either in love or in fear. And it's our choice. Verse 8 says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Dr. Ross, another scholar of the Old Testament, says, the healing that the fear of the Lord and the avoidance of evil brings is first and foremost spiritual. And he says that Scripture often uses terms of the physical body to describe inner spiritual or psychical feelings. So that's the case here. He's giving us a spiritual perspective in this passage that it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Dr. Ross says, give back to God some of one's wealth as a sacrifice in recognition that God gave it. To know God in our financial ways is to see that these honor him. I think it also means that our wealth should be used for God-honoring purposes. And first fruits are the best, the first of your profit or revenue. Verse 10 says, "Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine." Verse 11 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof." And what that means is don't rebel or hate God's discipline. Be teachable. Learn from the pain and struggle of life. Be willing to change and to make changes that are needed. Verse 12 says, "For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." He loves you. He created you. He wants you to grow to be what he designed you to be. He delights in you. Ross said he is speaking of discipline and love. I want to go back and review verses 5 and 6 again, because here we find one of the occurrences of verses that give a basic explanation of salvation, and this is, of course, in the Old Testament. But first, before we do that, I want you to hear how God feels about our salvation. And this is this passage is of God speaking about his people in Deuteronomy 5:29. Here's what God says. "Oh, that they had a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever." Sounds like a loving God, doesn't it? And he is. The beauty of God's law, statutes, and commands and ordinances is that our Creator has given them so that we will know how to live in a way that might go well with us. He created each of us by his design for his purposes and glory, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. So focusing again on verses 5 and 6, there are two parts to each of these verses. In verse 5, the first part is something that we are to do. And here is that passage: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And it's explained by Psalm 37, 3 and 5. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act." And God acts on our behalf for our benefit. The second part of verse 5 is something that we are not to do. And this is really interesting and very practical. It says, "Do not lean on your own understanding." And Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 gives a great explanation. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." There are two parts to verse 6, something that we are to do. It says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him." And here's an example from 1 Chronicles 28:9. "Know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." And here is the second part. This is something that God does. He will make straight your paths. Psalm 73, 24 and 26 says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory." My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Jesus Christ died on the cross as our sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins. And he rose from the dead that we might have eternal life. Here is that familiar passage. I'm going to read three verses of it from John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ? Let's all bow together. If you have just come to believe in Jesus Christ, pray after me like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in you and trust you. I repent of my unbelief. I submit to you as my Lord and my God. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, see me or one of the elders after this service.